or support what you're doing?
Oh, well, there is this Facebook page. You have to join the group, and then you will be accepted into the group. But these concerned citizens, for the most part, are people that are in this area or friends and family of people that are in this area. Well, anybody's welcome to join. But what I think really what needs to be done is people have to recognize the bigger picture here. I think it would be naive to say, oh, look at those poor people in Louisiana. Look what they're going through. Sorry for them. It's not that simple, okay? There are dozens to hundreds of Camp Mindens around the country. And what has happened here, and I have good reason to believe this, in what I've learned over the past month, is that the Army very often does put pressure on our Environmental Protection Agency to push things along here with the repurposing of these munitions. And you know, we've got 3 million tons of munitions in stockpile in this country by our military. 3 million tons, and about 17% of those 3 million tons are deemed obsolete. And they have to have their munitions taken out of, the propellant has to be removed, and it has to be destroyed or repurposed in some way. So right now, in this country, there are 50,000 tons of propellant and ordnance, explosives, sitting somewhere. We've got 20% of it here in Louisiana in a very bad state. Lucky us. But this is not the only place where this is happening.
And we'll find out all about that on KBOO.FM, where you can hear the rest of today's program. That was Talk Nation Radio, hosted by David Swanson. His guest is Brian Dr. Salvatore, who talks about the Army's plan for the biggest open-air burn of explosives ever and the movement to prevent it. This is KBOO Portland. The time is 10:01. Coming up is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and news that you can use, commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15 is Flashpoints, featuring Pulitzer Prize-winning author Chris Hedges' keynote speech at the most recent Earth at Risk conference. And at 11 on the Radio Zine, Catherine Mader speaks out on why she was fired from the Oregon Transportation Commission after she voted against the Port of St. Helens application for $2 million to benefit a coal shipping project with Ambra Energy. Well, thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. For those who are not yet KBOO members, all of y'all can remedy that situation at kboo.fm. You click where it says donate today. So keep it locked right here on KBOO Portland, your community radio.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, January 30th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest, Julia DeGraw with Food and Water Watch, because if you've been listening, if you've got your ear to the ground and your toe in the water, you will know that Nestle Corporation has not given up on its plans to dispose of and capitalize, privatize our water. No great surprise there, but nonetheless, it's a project to work on. Somebody's got to stop them, and apparently it's up to us, the citizens of Cascadia. We also are hoping and trying very hard to get Kevin Zeese and Dr. Margaret Flowers, two intrepid activists who have been working on preventing the fast tracking of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This is getting closer and closer, with Republicans ascendant in Congress and pretty much everywhere else. It's we're playing whack-a-snake here, because every time one pops up, we whack it down, another one appears. So this one has appeared, and again, in much the same way as Nestle with its eye on Cascade Lux, this is perhaps even more dangerous. It will permanently and irrevocably change the economic landscape for millions and millions of people. But for first, before we speak with Julia, we've got other business to attend to. Controversy is spreading around, of course, John Boehner's decision to invite the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address Congress. This is coming up on March 3rd. Netanyahu is going to trash Obama's Iran diplomacy and could blow that right out of the water. No pun intended, because indeed this might be blown out of the water. We're going to be talking with others about this. Keith Ellison, Steve Cohen, Maxine Waters are circulating a letter to Boehner right now, asking him to postpone this dreadful, dreadful idea until after Congress has considered the issue of Iran sanctions. For whatever reason, so, well, we do know the reasons, but Republicans are very, very keen on having their way on this one. They desperately want another war in the Middle East, because they have not clue one what the effects are going to be on our lives here in the United States. Especially if you keep that in with the prospect of fast-tracking the Trans-Pacific Partnership. These two are two faces of exactly the same creature. One, of course, trade, economics, and the other, war. And as we all know, war is business, and business is good. Equal pay for equal work still eludes independent nurse practitioners right here in Oregon. They are saying that Medicare, CCOs, private insurers all impose unnecessary roadblocks that make it almost impossible for them to run their own businesses. We'll be speaking later on with Christopher Hearn at the Lund Report. After 11 years of running one nurse, after 11 years of running her own business as a nurse practitioner, she cared for thousands of patients. And now, of course, she realizes that her pay is nothing compared to what it ought to be. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf plans to sign an executive order ending a short-lived effort by his predecessor to expand the extraction of natural gas from fracking in Pennsylvania, which has been pretty much fracked pieces. But get this, he did it. Pennsylvania governor, just in case anybody missed it, Tom Wolf, he's signing an executive order to end this efforts on the part of his predecessor to expand fracking. So, a ray of light in the depths of the earth, right? This would supersede the order of Republican Governor Tom Corbett, who did pretty much a massive amount of damage while he was in power. And we're waiting to speak with Julia. Well, we'll keep trying. And another point to consider, the word swarm. Have you been swarmed again? This is yet another instance of the tyranny of the majority. According to its recent announcement, Facebook is employing an algorithm based ostensibly on the numbers of user-generated flags to reduce or mitigate the distribution of stories flagged as false. In addition to this, Facebook has announced that stories flagged in this manner are going to contain that a notice that the story has been determined to contain false information. Where is that coming from? It's called swarmed, and it could be happening to you right at this very moment. Now, dam removal is on the rise. This spring, for the first time in more than two centuries, American shad, striped bass, and river herring may spawn in the White Clay Creek. It's a tributary of the Delaware River in northern Delaware. Early one morning last month, a five-person crew waded into the frigid creek and pulled down most of a timber and stone dam that had blocked the river's flow since the early years of the Revolutionary War. This business of dams and dam removal is no new thing. Building dams and to essentially privatize natural resources has had a jump on all of us for a very long time. It's an established fact of life in the U.S. And though we may think that this is an artifact of post-World War II aggression against the environment, it's not really. We have a tradition of pulling these things whenever possible. Now the U.S. dam removal movement has wide acceptance as well as greater ambitions. Just this week, producers of a recent documentary called Damnation met with members of Congress. I thought I was the only one who did things like that. Damnation. With members of Congress and the White House officials to press their case for the removal of four large federal dams from the Lower Snake River in eastern Washington. Hurrah! Didn't see that one coming. Wonderful good news. More on that next week. We now have Julia DeGraw with Food and Water Watch on the line. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Glad to have you on the show today. So, what has Nestle just been waiting in the wings? Have these plans been, have they just suddenly resurfaced? Or how did this come about? Did you see this coming, for that matter?
Well, yeah. So to give the update on what's happening with the Nestle water bottling proposal in the Columbia River Gorge is that up until pretty much the beginning of this year, Food and Water Watch and BARC, who are kind of the lead organizations of the Keep Nestle Out of the Gorge Coalition, were in a litigation fight with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife over their all of the proposals and applications they've applied for in order to make public water available for Nestle to bottle it. And that process was not particularly in the public eye because it wasn't, you know, like there was a lot of action happening on a regular basis. We were in contested case hearings, and we're still in the middle of one of those contested case hearings right now. And then we found out that near the end of last year, we found out about this more at the beginning of this year, but we found out that Nestle had approached the town of Cascade Locks with kind of a new idea of how to gain access to the state water that it wishes to bottle. And the proposal they brought to Cascade Locks was an actual water rights transfer. And frankly, we didn't expect it because way back at the beginning of this project, of this campaign, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife made it very, very clear that they did not want to enter into an actual exchange of water rights for this project to move forward, which is why they moved forward with a water exchange application, which I know sounds like just semantics, but it really is different. The water exchange application, which is what is currently on file at the state level and has had thousands of comments submitted in opposition to it, is different in a couple of ways. That water exchange application would mean that the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and the city of Cascade Locks would just exchange physical water. Both entities would fully retain their actual water right. And the other bigger difference that's super important is that the water exchange application would allow for a public interest review. And that's really relevant because most of the arguments we have concerning this water bottling proposal and this water exchange process have to do with what's best for the public interest and the potential impacts to the larger, you know, gorge community and the state of Oregon, and whether or not this is the highest and best use of this water. This water rights transfer that Nestle is proposing and that the city of Cascade Locks is pursuing would not allow for a public interest review. So that means that the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, if they agree to do this water rights transfer process, would throw out the thousands of comments they've already received on this water exchange application that's currently on file, and they would throw out the public interest review, both of which we think are a really bad idea for a project that is as controversial as this and that is as big as a multinational corporation with a very bad track record like Nestle coming into the scenic Columbia River Gorge and starting to bottle water there, because their end game is not necessarily going to be just to bottle water from Cascade Locks. They're going to want to bottle spring water from throughout the region.
Julia, thank you so much. We are completely out of time, and I'd like to talk to you more next week about this.
Yeah, I was waiting for the call. I apologize. I think they didn't have the correct phone number for me, so I'm glad we were able to get a couple of minutes on air at least.
Thank you so much. Next week, we'll speak some more on this.